welcome Joy Lucinda to the Caregiver Smile Summit 2. We're going to be talking about restoring joy after loss. Joy has a Master's of Science in Gerontology Administration and Rural Health from the University of Utah and has worked as a healthcare professional with hospice, persons with dementia, and their families for over 20 years. In 2010, she switched gears as a full-time certified reflexologist and instructor and an intuitive energy healer and medium. She has taught hundreds of people how to apply simple 10-second to 3-minute complementary medicine protocols to reduce pain, anxiety, agitation, discomfort, and chronic illness symptoms. She's the author of Restore Joy After Loss, Life-Changing Strategies to Function with Joy in the Midst of Grief, Stress, and Chaos. And Joy, welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit. All right. So, you talk a lot about how joy is possible while grieving or going through a stressful situation such as caregiving. Can you elaborate on this?
Yes. Well, it's interesting. You may have noticed these bricks behind me. And I don't know if you can read them very well, but I wanted to use that as a tool because when it comes to because that's the thing, people think there's no joy and they're trying to find it when they're grieving or when they're in the midst of they're in the bunker of caregiving, right? And so what I'm here to show you is these bricks are about hope. And so at the bottom, you can't really see it very well, but that's guilt, which is a very common emotion with caregivers. They feel like they're not doing enough, or they feel like they're all alone, and they feel like they feel guilty because they can't take care of the other people that may need them, like their kids, if they're taking care of their mother, for example. And so anyway, but the thing is, I want to put in perspective of heavy versus light. But joy, as you can see, joy and peace are at the top, and they are the lightest state of being you can have. Guilt, however, is the bottom, is the heaviest state of being. But this is natural to go through all these emotional states. Now, joy is actually not happiness per se, according to this. It's actually unconditional love. When you're in a state of unconditional love, you're not going to judge yourself or others around you. And so that's the kind of state of peace we want to be in. So, but here's the deal. Some days you're gonna feel guilty, but you may see that in the blue bricks, there's this thing called anger. Anger is also a very common response with caregiving because we get very, very impatient with the person we're caring for, and they get impatient with us. But it's very interesting because as you go up, each brick is exponentially better. So if you're angry, you're actually ready to change. Now, where does joy fit into all this? Well, joy is simply, it's cloudy here today, and joy, I know the sun is behind the clouds. I can't see it. I'm more chilly than I normally would be without the sun out. And it seems bleak and hopeless because it's dark. But joy is always there. And we have to find hope with that. And I want to give you an acronym for hope because I think this will help you, because when we're in these heavy emotions, hope is one thing we hold on to. The acronym for hope is Hold On, Pain Ends. Hope lies right there, kind of with the trust and forgiveness. And so that is your preparation for moving forward. So anyway, but joy can exist at the same time because joy is unconditional love. It's just there no matter what happens in our life.
Right. I really like that distinction because I was a caregiver for my mom for a couple of years, and Catholic guilt. Mom had all her faculties, so she had medical issues, but certainly no dementia issues. And so mm-hmm. I certainly understand about that. And I really get that whole idea of you get to the boiling point, kind of that anger, and you know that something's going to have to change. That's a real good distinction. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how does the Restore Joy protocol differ from other approaches to cope or deal with a grief process or the stress of caring for a loved one?
Well, it's actually so different because, first of all, it simplifies the way that you can actually overcome these emotions. Sometimes we think we have to wait until the caregiving is done until we can really cope. and think, well, once it's over, I can do what I need to do and all this. But it is something where it's easy to follow. Within 10 seconds to 3 minutes, someone can actually do things without thinking about their emotional state necessarily. And real quick, I just want to show what the Restore Joy Protocol is. And in the PDF that I'm including through this video, I have a lot of these strategies on that PDF that you can download. Okay. So I want to let you know that. But I know you can't see this very clearly, but it's
there. You go. Just put it up a little. There you go.
Okay.
That's perfect. Right there is perfect.
So here we have an acronym for Restore Joy. And when I was writing my book, this came through and I found it to be a wonderful process because it's things we don't think about. Now, Anthony, do you mind if I go through these briefly?
Sure.
Okay. Sounds good. So it's interesting because the first step is releasing resistance. We would think the first step is take a break or something, right? Well, what happens is that just like these bricks where guilt is at the bottom and peace is at the top, we feel heavy in our bodies. And so what happens is that we're also resistant to change. We're resistant to people telling us what to do. And what does that do? That keeps us from moving forward or finding peace in the caregiving situation. So resistance can be stubbornness. Resistance can be getting your way. For example, as a parent or as a caregiver, we have these triggers. And so what happens with these triggers is that maybe that loved one will just every day makes a certain sound and it drives you nuts. And then you start yelling, maybe you get impatient, you're annoyed. You may go off in the corner and cry because it's a particularly hard day and overwhelmed. So that's but what that is resistance. That means we're trying to control a situation, and resistance actually creates tension in the body. So you're at risk of getting sick. We hear this a lot as caregivers. You're at risk of getting sick if you do too much caregiving. It's because the body takes on those emotions that we put out there. And it holds it in the body, and eventually you get stiff and you may experience pain, or maybe you have an illness. Now, the opposite of that, of resistance, is kind of this top part of the bricks. It's listening, compassion, acceptance, patience, trust. Those are things I have challenged with as a mother and as a caregiver of my parents. But that's the thing about the strategies that I'm going to share with you, is that they actually can take, you will go from heavy to light in your body. And that means your emotional state will in turn get lighter and go up the scale.
Okay.
And so as far as the others, I mean, that I'm just going to read through them real quick, and then we'll go over some strategies.
Okay.
And you'll have to remind me of the time frame. Okay, Anthony?
Sure. We're good.
Okay. So the next step of the Restore Joy Protocol is easing into neutral. And we're actually going to go through that a little later. Stop overthinking. That tends to happen to all of us, whether we're a caregiver or not. But overthinking actually takes us to a very dark place, because our thoughts are not necessarily the truth. The thoughts are based on our emotional state. And there's something called the thoughts are the parents of our feelings. And so if our thoughts are irrational, then our feelings are irrational, and then we yell or get impatient or all that. So anyway, there's some strategies. One of the strategies for stop overthinking is to actually imagine a vacuum hose in your head taking those thoughts out that they're driving you crazy. Test drive new words. That's a whole other thing we'd have to have a whole workshop on. But there's a difference between saying, I should be doing better as a caregiver versus I am doing the best I can. So the shoulds are very, very, they take you to that level of apathy and guilt below when you say, I should be doing, or I should be this to this person. Mm-hmm. And if you just simply say, I don't know how I feel today. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Your overthinking stops. And one thing, I'm going to leave you with one thing with test drive new words. If you acknowledge the truth, and then you say this simple question, what else is possible? your brain automatically stops overthinking with irrational thoughts, and you actually go into future mode where your mind will create scenarios that are out of the box and peaceful and rational. What else is possible? And it just creates this calm over the whole body and takes the heaviness out, because we're figuring everything is out all the time, but that is exhausting.
Right.
Yeah. So anyways, overcoming negativity, remember but look ahead, and then embracing change, which we talked about with anger. But anyway, so let me see here. I wanted to share one thing, because I think one of the key strategies is so simple that people need to realize is that, have you ever noticed when you're angry at somebody, you go like this, oh, that person, with your hands? It's automatic.
Right.
It's an absolute automatic response. You're like, I cannot stand what that guy's saying. Or we may be at a football game and going, yeah, you know, and cheering on. That's our body's automatic way of calming ourselves. If you think about babies when they go to sleep, when they're crying and upset, they do this, and before you know it, they are peaceful. We as adults who are in stressful situations like caregiving can do the exact same thing, and you don't have to put your nails into your hand. However, I have had a lot of clients who are caregivers who never get a break, and their family is not helping them, and they will wake up with finger marks in this, because this area of the hand is about nurturing yourself in Chinese medicine. So they will wake up because they're not receiving any help, and this restores the energy that you need, and it detensifies your body and mind. Okay. So you can go to sleep like this, you have more quality sleep, or in the middle of the day, this is your reset button where you can just take 30 seconds and just feel yourself let go.
I'm going to have to try that tonight.
I would recommend it. You'll at least sleep more quality. I mean, but it's about nourishing yourself.
Yeah. And I appreciate what you said about testing new language. And I may have to take you up on that offer to do, if we have a Caregiver Summit 3 to discuss that very topic. I was also chuckling to myself, because we did have an expert on the last summit who talked about, I think her mother had certain phrases that would just drive her up the wall. And she kind of made a game into it and a song around it. And it was her way of coping, you know, with that. And she would count how many times it would happen during the day. And so it became a whole process for her to embrace that and not just continue to get crazy over it.
You know, it's Anthony, it's so funny you talk about counting, because, and you know, it's true. That happens no matter if we're caregiving or not, right? The people drive us nuts. But talking about counting, also, when you're caring for someone and they need something, we get into this mode where we have to run to help them, right? And even if it's not an emergency. Well, I wanted to share one more technique that I have actually used with my daughter, in addition to my mom and dad when I'm with them, to calm ourselves down. And it's like the hallway going to help them is like the Green Mile. It's like, what is going to be on the other side of this, right? So here's a strategy. Whenever you're walking down the hall, talking about a little song or phrases, I have this little song where it's called Mindful Walking, where you take slower steps and plant your feet so you're grounded, so by the time you get there, you're not rushing in and panicking. And all the song is this: first comes the heel, and then comes the big toe, then comes the little toe, and then take a step. That, as a reflexologist, this is like candy for me, but it's like whenever, so basically this part of your foot comes down on the ground and you're grounded and you're steady. And as you lift your other foot slowly, you're not going to fall down. You're completely steady. And it's not only metaphorical, it literally puts you in a state where you centered. But it's fun too, because you have that little bunny foo foo song in your head, and you're not thinking about, I know she's going to do this, and then she's going to do this, and then I'm going to have to do this, and then I was going to do something for myself, but now I'm going to have to do that, you know?
Yeah.
But why walk down that green mile when it could be maybe a path to joy instead? So that mindful walking is very, very powerful. And you may even look around and see that you know, something beautiful you've never seen in your house before.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you, I will say that you're the first person on the summit who's ever sung. So, and I appreciate
that. Sorry about that, because I definitely shouldn't have sang to anybody, but it's okay.
Well, if you know my journey, I got into this all from going into nursing homes and assisted living and singing for elders. So, yes. So, that's how my journey started. So, you know, one of the topics or the categories of topics in this year's summit is caregiving and the workplace. And we know we have so far to go in that regard in terms of employers and culture and all that. But you talk about restoring joy in the workplace and that often we bring stress from home to work and vice versa. So, explain how losses such as layoffs, high turnover, poor morale, caregiving for a loved one, and other factors affect productivity and how workplaces are addressing or should be addressing this to help employees. Because maybe our listeners here who are family caregivers in the workforce can advocate a little bit more in their own places. And if it's an employer listening, they can maybe implement some things that would change some of this as well.
Well, first of all, I'm very grateful for Sheryl Sandberg, the COO of Facebook.
Sure.
She has really changed the bereavement policies in the workplace where people, even if they're not directly a direct relation to someone, can take off weeks instead of maybe 2 days to deal with a major death issue. And but I also want to talk about a friend of mine. She actually told me that her brother committed suicide, and so she had to take off. And she didn't know how the workplace would respond to that. And when she got back to work, she was actually relieved because she thought it would be awkward. But they had a cake for her and they wanted to acknowledge that she was coming back. Well, it was very interesting because she goes into the room and two of the women come up to her and say, "We're glad you're back to do your job. And also we think your brother was a coward for committing suicide."
Oh, dear God.
Exactly. So, but you know what? I want to look at this from a place of compassion because people are awkward around grief and death and even these changes like turnover and all these things. I mean, so, but that's the thing. We have to, all we have control of is ourselves. So when I taught, she told me the story. I said, in a different world, instead of you going off and crying in the corner, you could have done this thing called a loving kindness meditation and basically build yourself with compassion, even though they were totally wrong. And instead, she went into the sorrow again and relived it. Mm. So, anyway, going back to the workplace, because grief is not just a person dying, even though a lot of times when we're caregiving, we're thinking about their loved one all day while we're at work. And then we're less productive, we're distracted, we're overthinking, and we're not being a good team member necessarily as effective as we could be. But we also have to think about when a team is falling apart and the sales are terrible and you're getting pressure from everywhere you go, that is a grief process. And it affects everybody. And so that's why some of the strategies, which we can't go over all of them, I share, and you know, you can get my book if you really want a lot of them, but it's important that our energy affects everyone else.
Sure.
The other thing is, the whole thing with the bereavement policy, but why don't we get support before that person passes, right? Because we could take FMLA, but it still doesn't address the issue. But that's the thing. So here's something that can help a person who's a caregiver who has a full-time job. And let me consider which one I want to share with you today. Oh, this is a really good one, especially if you're dealing pressure or negativity and gossip and drama, and then you're dealing with your loved one at home. So it's simply the Hawaiian prayer. And I know these are not psychological strategies per se, where you go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, and these are things to cope. This is simply how do you switch it on and off. And the Hawaiian prayer is a powerful tool, and it's very simple. And you say it to yourself. So let's say a coworker is annoying you or says something negative, or they're always on your case, or your boss is micromanaging you. You simply in your head say, I'm sorry, I love you, please forgive me, thank you. And again, you say this to yourself, not to that person.
Right.
I'm sorry, I love you, please forgive me, thank you. And repeat it in your head. Don't think about it, just repeat it. And that takes you to this higher level up into the yellow bricks back here. There. Okay.
Right.
But wouldn't you, if you could choose to be negative or positive, this takes you to that positive place without having to solve the problem.
No, that's great.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's a real simple strategy. You can put it on your desk, and anytime there's negativity, you can shield yourself from it.
Yeah, that's great. And you know, I'm so happy that you're sharing practical things that are easy to do, because that was one of the things we wanted to achieve with the summit, was practical, easy things. And you're certainly hitting it. So I thank you for that. So I had to reread this a couple of times, but you have a flow chart that explains that thoughts, and I'll take this a little slow.
I know it's kind of convoluted in my but philosophical mind.
I get it after a couple reads, but I want to make sure our viewers and listeners get it. So thoughts are the parents of feelings. Heavy feelings are the parents of stress. Stress is the parent of pain, and pain is the parent of tension. So can you kind of explain the connections between all this, thoughts, emotions, physical fatigue, and caregivers?
Absolutely. So it's interesting. I came up with this because there is, I'm trying to remember the lady. There's a, in the 70s and 80s, Virginia Sater, she was a psychologist, I believe, came up with thoughts are the parents of our feelings. And it's really true, because if we're overthinking, I mean, all of our thoughts create an emotional response, no matter what they are. And then feelings, I have to get it straight too. Feelings are the parents of our stress. And I'm talking about heavy feelings, these things like anxiety, apathy, guilt. And so that leads to the body feeling stressed out. Because what happens is that the body, I said it earlier, but the body takes on our negative emotions, so we don't go mentally ill. That's why the body takes it on. And so what happens is that, so that leads to stress, which leads to us not thinking clearly. We're not digesting well. Our bodies don't work efficiently. We feel tired. And then stress is the parent of our tension, actually. That's supposed to be the step. So stress, the parent of our tension. Once we start getting stressed, we actually get tense. And what happens is that, this is just an interesting thought. Most of us, if you think about it, either have injuries on the left side of the body or the right side of the body primarily. I don't know if that's the case with you, Anthony, or if anyone's kind of acknowledging that, but almost everybody has it either on the left or the right. And I just want to make a quick note on that, because the left side of our bodies, our caregiving side, that's where our heart is. Sure. That's our feminine side. That's the side that naturally should be receiving good energy, but we give so much, it doesn't receive enough. So the left side might be weak, or it might be very stiff. Any joints that are stiff in the body as a result of letting the thoughts, feelings, stress, and all of this lead to that, that means you're inflexible and not able to move forward or to allow yourself to forgive someone, for example. You're inflexible with your relationships or whatever. So the right side of our body is our work side. And a lot of men typically have maybe stiff right sides because it's about work, duty, doing the right thing. But it also harbors anger, resentment, guilt, all of those heavy emotions. So essentially what we're doing is we're walking around, we're emotionally limping. So anyway, getting back to so stress is the parent of tension, and tension is the parent of pain. So once your body reaches a situation where you have pain, but you didn't have an injury, you have to really assess, why am I guilty all the time? Because this is leading to me feeling bad and actually feeling the pain. I heard at a conference recently that physical pain, emotional pain, and social pain, which in the case of caregiving or when you're grieving is often isolation, It can be calmed with a Tylenol, no matter what kind of pain you're going through, or some kind of pain medication. It creates the same pain response in the body, but it helps the emotional or the social pain kind of calm down. Isn't that amazing?
That is kind of interesting. I mean, it seems like if people would kind of release a lot of this, you're going to think clearer as well and make better rational decisions.
Yeah, and make decisions that are in your highest good as a caregiver, because that's another, I mentioned the question, what else is possible earlier, but when you say, what is in my highest good right now, even though your person you're caring for needs something, you've got to ask yourself that, and sometimes what's in your highest good is best for them as well. And until you acknowledge that first, you're going to keep harboring these tense, heavy emotions, and then you're not going to think clearly, like you said, but you're also not going to function. When you're doing that mindful walking, you're not mindful. You're literally limping down the hall and pains your knee hurts. And it's because you're rigid and you don't know how to let go and allow yourself to forgive yourself for not being perfect, for example.
Right.
So,
and in some ways, I guess when you change, as you were just saying, your loved ones and your other family members see it, I guess it has an impact on them as well. Does it help them change too? Does necessarily, or can they learn from the person? Yeah.
It absolutely does. And this is a perfect time for me to bring in another technique, because it's so simple and it's so easy. There is this concept called skin hunger. And when people, like in nursing homes, for example, or, you know, the Romanian babies who had no parents, the orphans, when they are not touched, they pretty much get sick and die or just fade away, kind of. So, but we all have this. We crave touch. And so what's the first thing we do when someone's upset? We go up to them and touch their shoulder. We tap their arm or wrist, right? That actually creates skin full instead of skin hunger. And so even if you do anything, if you hold onto that person's hand, if you don't know what to do, the wrist, if you just put your hand on a wrist and just let it go down onto the chair arm or onto the bed, when that arm goes down, I'm not pushing my wrist down. It's just going down because the body's saying, I can relax now. So this is a trigger for the body to relax. And like I said, if you get rid of tension, all the other things turn into those upper bricks, your thoughts and feelings. So if you hold someone's hand on both sides and just hold it without talking and just let it go down, they're going to be more alert and willing to have instructions. Now, there are exceptions to that, but that touch alone without the talking creates trust, and it allows them to know automatically from a DNA level you're caring about them.
Awesome. So we've covered a lot of territory here. I'm going to actually have to go rewatch and jot down. You gave us so many tips. Are there any healing protocol that you're just so passionate about you want to share before we end our interview?
I would like to share one final thing. And there are so many good ones out there. I was going to share the finger holds, but that's on the sheet I'm going to send to everybody.
Okay.
Where each finger has an emotion attached to it, and you can hold it and hug it and let go of that emotion. But you can look at that online on the page. But I want to share the loving kindness meditation, because when you're in the midst of the turmoil of a really bad day, this is an awesome way to recenter yourself. And I mentioned compassion earlier about the workplace. But what you do is either say when your loved one is, let's say they have dementia and they're just out of control, or they're just driving you nuts, or they need a lot, you just simply say, may, in your head, may you be at peace, may you be loved, may you be cherished, may you be open to forgiving, may you be in a space of loving kindness. You can say anything you want. This is even good for the spouse that feels neglected when you're taking care of a mother or father or a child who has special needs. So you can say this to anyone who in your life is feeling alone, you know, like they need something. may you be. And I did this in an argument with my husband. And instead of reacting and being defensive, I could listen to him fully. And all I was doing is creating compassion in myself. And then, like you said earlier, they feel that. Now, the next step is to say, may I be loved. May I know that I'm doing the best I can. May I be cherished. May I be filled with loving kindness today. And you don't have to shift it. It automatically creates the yellow bricks, whatever, back there. And it's so simple, but that way you can neutralize any arguments or things that fire up that you really don't need right now because you're exhausted.
Yeah. Well, Joy, this has been incredible from a couple standpoints. First of all, your passion is clearly shines through. I think people are going to watch this and be inspired, when we realize some of the things we can just do, and it starts with us. And then all those practical, tactical tips. I can't thank you enough for joining us on the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Thank you so much. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just show my book and just so people know it's available.
Sure.
So this is my book, Restore Joy After Loss, which Anthony mentioned earlier. And this actually is the tip and tricks book. And I wanted to just let you know that I have set an intention around this book that, and people who have read it said this is true, that wherever you open it, whether it's to the middle, the end, or whatever, randomly, you will get what you need. And I've had a lot of people validate that. So it's not like reading the whole book. You open it to what you need. And when you're in that space of need, you'll open it to the right place. So I am gladly created that intention for you. And may your days be filled with peace, ease, and joy. And God love you for giving of yourself to care for someone else.
Awesome. Thanks again, Joy.